Let's turn in the book of Proverbs to Proverbs 27. That's on page 460 in the Pew Bibles. Proverbs 27. We have only a couple more of the themes from Proverbs, and then we'll move into closing out this book exegetically as we begin the book exegetically. And we're going this evening to see our theme of receiving counsel, and we're going to start at verse 1. We'll read the whole of the chapter, and you can listen for the verse that we'll be meditating on. Proverbs 27, beginning at verse 1, again, God's word. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger is a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, and the simple pass on and are punished. Take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit, so he who waits on his master will be honored. And in water, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herb of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants. And here ends the reading of God's holy word. May God bless that to our hearts and to our minds. Now, this evening we are looking at this theme of counsel and receiving of counsel. And this is an important aspect of the book of Proverbs that we see throughout the book. And in an article that I was reading this last week, the author, an article on giving counsel and biblical counseling, says, the Lord reveals his wisdom to us in the Bible, which is our final authority for all matters of faith and practice. But sometimes it's difficult for us to apply Scripture's teaching to our own situations, especially when our emotional investment is high. Christians who are more knowledgeable than we are about the Word of God and have more experience applying it to life can help us to see the Lord's will when we cannot. Older people in our churches should especially be cherished for wisdom, and we should seek relationships with them so that we might benefit from their wise counsel. I want you to think about that paragraph in the context of the book of Proverbs. Now, we've talked about how Proverbs is counsel of a father given especially in context to a son as he goes out into the world. And yet, what we often find within the church as well as in the world is that when we seek counsel, we especially seek counsel from our peer group rather than seeking those that would have more wisdom than we would. You can think of young people as they seek counsel from one another and, you know, text each other to get counsel on what to do in certain situations. And yet wisdom would say to seek counsel from somebody older. Maybe for this row it would be somebody in their 20s. And then somebody in their 20s seeking counsel maybe from people in the church that are in their 30s or 40s. And working our way up within those age brackets within the church, because the Proverbs tell us and demonstrate for us that counsel is something that we apply from the Word of God, and those that have lived the Christian life longer than we have lived have something to offer us by way of counsel in God's Word. So what does Proverbs tell us about this seeking of counsel? Now, you don't have to go very far within the book of Proverbs to find the idea of counsel. Proverbs 1, verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So wisdom says that I want to increase learning. I want to increase the application of God's word in my life, and those that are wise will hear and seek out counsel. They'll attain wise counsel, that they're able to hear what the Word of God says about a certain situation and how to apply the Word of God to that situation. One wrote that a man of understanding, by comparing them with one another and with his own observations, shall by degrees attain wise counsel and stands fair and will be consulted as an oracle and entrusted with the management of affairs, and he shall come to sit at the helm as the word signifies. So those that seek counsel will be filled with wisdom and increase of learning, that he or she may be able to provide counsel to others. Reminds me of another proverb that says, he that waters will also be watered. When we are watering others with what God's word has given to us, that's refreshment to our own soul and helps us to be able to be filled with these things as well. Another proverb, Proverb 9, verse 9, says, give instruction to the wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So you see that theme repeated from chapter 1 to chapter 9, that when we are in the Word of God and we're growing in the Word of God and we're seeking to be counseled by those that know the Word of God better and are able to apply it in ways that you and I don't apply it, that causes an increase in our own lives as well. So if you want to grow in your knowledge of the Word of God and your understanding of the Word of God, the Proverbs would tell you to go and receive counsel from one who knows more of the Scriptures. What should I do in this situation? And sometimes we're very blinded by our own perspectives or blinded by the ideas that we would have, saying, well, this is exactly what I should do. And then you go and you bring someone in with more wisdom and they say, no, that's not what you should do. These are the things that you should consider, and these are the ways that you should handle this within your life. And why do we do that? We do that, as Proverbs 11:14 tells us, where there is no counsel, people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So there's something of a spiritual safety net that God provides within the community of faith as we seek to grow from one another and to be counseled by one another in what the Word of God says concerning certain applications in our lives. There is safety. So the idea is that we don't do things rashly, but we consult others, that we would be able to understand how the Word is applied to a situation, and you hear from a multitude of counselors. Like if you went to a doctor and you said, you know, doctor, I have a cold and I can't stop coughing, and the doctor's like, well, we need to amputate your arm. You'd say, whoa, I need to get more information. I need to consult others concerning this rather than just rashly going with the counsel given. And here the Proverbs tell us that we expand on our counseling, those from whom we take counsel, as a way for safety within the church and safety within our homes and safety within our communities. You see, we need one another in hearing how the Word of God applies to certain situations. You can even think of the baptismal vows that we take, how we make vows to encourage parents and to seek to help in raising up children unto the glory of God. This is part of our vows, would be that we would provide counsel, that we would be those that say, you know, have you considered this from the Word of God? So there is safety. But not everyone is going to heed that counsel. The Scripture says this is something that will help you to grow in wisdom. It's something that will help you to increase in learning. It says that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, and those that just do their own thing are free from that safety, and often they're the ones that fall into the pit, so to speak. They're the ones that fall on their face and make the same bad choices over and over again. And the Proverbs tell us of that man or woman as well. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. The heeding is listening to counsel and doing that which the counselors provide, not just hearing, okay, I want to hear your opinion so I can go and do what I was planning on doing anyways. It's heeding the counsel, again, of a multitude of counselors for the sake of safety, that the Word of God may grow in us and that we may supply that to others as well. And the Proverbs tell us that there is wisdom in that. One writer said, what is it that keeps a wise man from being a fool? He is willing to be advised, and he hearkens to counsel that is different from his own judgment. We want to be wise. We ought not to be the fool. We've looked at the fool extensively as one of the main characters in the book of Proverbs. And we want to avoid that. And the scriptures tell us that those that heed counsel are wise. So who do you go to? Who ought to counsel you? Who are the ones that should be investing in your life that would give you counsel? Proverbs 12 goes on in verse 26 to say, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked will lead him astray. So wisdom and counsel being given by those that you choose to keep close to you because they know and love the Lord Jesus, because they know the Word of God, because they're proving to be resourceful with the Scriptures and able to apply the theology of the Scriptures to matters of ethics or concern within your life. We're called to choose friends carefully because that way of the wicked leads people astray. Proverbs 19 says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. So I'm wanting you to think through these Proverbs as the one that is getting counsel and growing in counsel and providing counsel in the way that it's almost circular, where it comes full circle here, that in your latter days, meaning when you are old, that you are going to be wise, that you may give counsel, that you may be the one that's approached and giving the instruction from the Word of God as well. And then there's this beautiful reminder in verse 21 of Proverbs 19 that our hearts have many plans. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. And friends, there's something within the Church of Jesus Christ that it comes with age and wisdom that this lesson is learned. How many times do young people, again, that's the context of the book of Proverbs, we're not picking on young people. How many times do young people say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and they have all of their plans laid out. You know, they're going to be super rich, and they're going to drive this kind of car, and they're going to do this, and they've got all of the plans laid out. And James reminds us that we are to say, God willing. And the Proverbs remind us that even though we may lay out all of these plans for what we think life may be like, that as we seek counsel and as we're corrected by the Word of God, we're reminded that despite all the plans that fill your heart or my heart, it's the will of God that stands. And again, go to the older people in the congregation. Go to those who have the gray hairs and say, can you help me to understand some of the things that were your plans that did not come to pass in life? And yet God brought about other plans. And for those who are godly, there's a contentment in that, because we're able to see God work in the midst of those things. And again, the way the Proverbs are thinking about counsel here is that it comes full circle. It's this young, zealous person and saying, here's what I'm going to do. And they're corrected that they may go and seek counsel, and that corrects their course. And they're in the Word, and they're in the Word, and they're growing and growing in wisdom and understanding and instruction. And they wake up one day realizing that now they're old. And there's other young men or young women who are coming to them and saying, could you instruct me? And this is the cycle of wisdom and counsel given within the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 27, as we have read, says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." This countenance sharpening happens as iron sharpens iron. This counsel given that we may be wise or grow in wisdom from those that provide counsel. Now, I want to give you four ways that you can, four things that you can consider when receiving counsel to help you to consider whether that counsel is something that is useful to you. Now again, let's think about counsel. Counsel, you're going and you're seeking advice on a certain situation. And I'm assuming that most of you are not going to seek advice on outward violations of God's law. You know, you're not going to go up to one of the deacons and say, "I'm thinking about murdering this person. Should I do this or shouldn't I do this?" They're just going to say, "No, you shouldn't do that." The things we seek counsel on are often those things that are in the realm of Christian liberty or in the realm of application that we would call wisdom from God's word. So we have a precept, we have God's law, and then we want to apply that in our life. So we seek counsel or wisdom that we may apply it. Or there's a liberty question. You know, who should I marry, or what should I go to school for, or should I go to school, or should I move here? All of those things that are in the realm of liberty, we seek counsel in. And we need help. So the first that is worth considering is this question: is it biblical? Is what you're seeking counsel on biblical? Does the Word of God allow for this decision that you are seeking to make? We know from our Reformed theology that unlawful vows are unlawful. So if we say, "I'm going to do this," and it's unlawful, you're not going to do this. You need to stop it. You need to stop doing that. But there are lawful things that the Word of God allows for. Somebody caught the stop it reference. There are certain things that the Word of God allows for where you may have freedom or in providential circumstances to do this, and we have to ask, is this something biblical? Is it in line with what the revealed will of God would be for us? See, God is written to us. We don't say, "Is this something God wants us to do?" and not consult the Bible. God has revealed how He would have us to live and think and feel and act. So we ask, is this biblical? The Christian is free to love and obey within the realms of the Word of God. The Puritans would call this the true bounds of Christian freedom. So is it lawful? Secondly, is it beneficial? This is a question that the Apostle Paul puts forward when he says, and he reminds the church, that all things are permissible within the context of that which is lawful, but not everything is beneficial. That's 1 Corinthians 6. We dealt with that months ago. Now, you may find yourself in a situation where you're asking for counsel or you're giving counsel, and the question is, how far is too far? Where's the line? What am I allowed to get away with? All of that realm of counsel. And the question ought never to be, how far can I go to this line before I sin? The question ought to be, what is most beneficial in bringing God glory in this situation? And I would encourage you to counsel in that direction. Either counsel yourself or counsel others. And when you counsel, to give that direction as well. You can think of the perpetual question of young people is, how far can I go before I sin? You all know what I'm talking about. It's the wrong question. It's the wrong premise. The question ought to be, is this beneficial? And where is the glory of God even in that question? So is it lawful or biblical? Is it beneficial? Thirdly, is it something that the scriptures would say leads to slavery? Again, 1 Corinthians 6, everything is lawful, but I will not be mastered by anything. See, it's very easy to say, here are my Christian freedoms, and seek to walk in those freedoms and find yourselves enslaved. And again, you know, alcohol, tobacco, food, things that you watch on television, all of these in that realm of things that fall into Christian freedom, how often do brothers and sisters in Christ find themselves enslaved to certain things because they were trying to walk in freedom? So is it biblical? Is it beneficial? Is it something that is going to lead to slavery? See, the principle here is that the Christian, through the Spirit of God, is to master rather than be mastered. And we ought to provide counsel in that direction. And then lastly, fourthly, does it edify others? As you seek to find wisdom and apply the Word of God, we do not do, as Christians, we do not do ethics in a vacuum. We live in relationship to one another under the Word of God, under the authority of our King, Jesus Christ. And the things we do and the things we say affect others around us, which means that we should seek to edify those that are around us. And when you give counsel in that direction. Now, you might have the question, Pastor Nathan, who should I seek out to provide counsel? You know, given some guidelines on things that we should think about, shown that circle of counsel given within the book of Proverbs. But lastly, I want to share with you some characteristics of those that you ought to seek counsel from. The first is that this is to be someone who genuinely is concerned for your life. You know, if you go and you seek counsel from somebody that is just providing information, there's not a genuine concern for your life. But within the church, hopefully we all have some level of concern for one another. But there may be those that have invested in you differently than others are investing in others. And that's just the way it is. It's not right or wrong. It's just the way it is. You want to seek out counsel from somebody who has a biblical, genuine concern and an investment into you, because that means that their counsel is going to be with genuine concern as well. Secondly, when you seek counsel, you should seek counsel only from those that have spiritual maturity. And again, throwing all the young people under the bus. Most young people seek counsel from other young people. And it's okay to be encouragers to one another. But when you seek counsel on a situation that is hard, you should look to an older person rather than someone who is in the same life situation in you. You want spiritual maturity. And that means that they should have a knowledge of the Bible. It means that they should be sound in their Reformed theology. This Reformed pulpit, we're able to say that. They should have a biblical knowledge and be sound in their Reformed theology so that they can provide counsel from the Scriptures with the understanding of the doctrines that we hold to be right and true. Number three, seek someone who is skilled at both listening and asking good questions. Somebody may give counsel, but really they're just speaking from the hip. They're not really hearing the situation. You want someone who is a listener as well as somebody who can ask those probing questions, doing the Socratic method, and hearing what you have to say through these good questions. So there's three. Number four is biblical discretion. You don't want to seek counsel on something going on in your life and finding that situation on Twitter the next day with your name attached. You want someone who's discreet, who's going to hold things in closely and not broadcast your struggles or trials to the world. Number five, and this might be a little controversial, someone who is sympathetic rather than empathetic. You want someone who is able to call sin, sin. Someone who can hear of the situation and the circumstances of your life and not excuse what you've gotten yourself into based on those situations. That's the definition of empathy. You want somebody who can look at those situations and those circumstances and from the Word of God sympathize and say, here is what Scripture would have you to do. Here is what Jesus would have you to do. And number seven, bringing it full circle, somebody who provides objective counsel from the Word of God. There's many people who will give counsel from all sorts of things that they may be hearing in the world. And there may be things in the world that help us to understand certain things about human nature and human behavior and all of those things. But the Word of God is where we stand. And we ought to say, thus saith the Lord. Here is the counsel that God's Word would have you to give. See, the Proverbs are a book, a collection of sayings that in and of themselves are counsel for living out the Christian life. But within that, they provide the framework for looking for those that will help you to be counseled according to the Word of God, that we may together grow up into that body called the church, conform to the image of Christ. And going beyond those boundaries of age and limit and looking to those that have more experience in the Christian life, that we may bring the most glory to Jesus Christ. The book of Proverbs has much to say on counsel, and it points us back to God's Word. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and all the truth of your Word. Help us, O Lord, to both be wise counselors among one another and to seek counsel from one another, with the Word of God central. Amen.